Welcome to the Public Manager Podcast, where we discuss highlights of current and upcoming issues of the Public Manager, a monthly digital magazine for government managers published by the Association for Talent Development and the Bureaucrat. I'm Teresa Preston, the managing editor of the Public Manager. Like any workplace today, government agencies face challenges in keeping employees engaged in their work. Our February issue includes articles on both coaching and mentoring, which are valuable tools for keeping employees interested and excited and engaged about their work. Randy Emelo wrote about mentoring for the issue, and Ryan Ellis, a writer-editor for the magazine, talked to him about mentoring and how it can help agencies. And she also discussed the difference between coaching and mentoring. Let's listen.
So my first question was, you haven't seen it yet, but this issue of the Public Manager also has an article about the Federal Coaching Network. So I think some people are confused about the differences between coaching and mentoring. With your expertise, how do you see those as different?
The differences that I see between mentoring and coaching could be defined as a coach, much like a sports coach on a field, is looking and observing the individual's performance and trying to close a known skill gap. And so because of that, coaching tends to be more technical in nature and much more directive, where the coach is telling the performer some techniques that they might try in order to gain a higher level of proficiency. So in a sense, the coach is assessing the relative capability of the individual against known standards of performance and then coaching them to close that gap. Whereas mentoring tends to be a broader, more holistic process where the developmental aspirations of the mentee or the learner is really front and center. And the mentoring relationship is more of a guide on the side, kind of sharing personalized experience and understanding, but it's really up to the mentee, or what I like to call the learner, to take that advice and apply it at their discretion. So it's much more an at-will relationship where the mentee is more in charge of the developmental direction than, say, a coaching relationship that is more where the coach is in charge of closing a performance gap.
That's interesting. And that kind of leads into my next question. In the article, you talk about how, well, historically, it seems that a lot of organizations reserve mentoring to develop people that have been identified as, you know, high potentials, the upcoming leaders and so forth. But in your article, you advocate moving beyond that to helping just, you know, a carefully chosen few people and mentoring employees at all phases of their careers. You know, you talk about new hires, middle managers, seasoned professionals. But what does that look like in actual practice?
In actual practice, what we see happening within more modern forms of mentoring is that it's a much more flexible, utilitarian human development process where it can be focused towards role development. So if you have a couple critical roles in the organization you need to groom some future managers or leaders for, that mentoring can be a great go-to process for role development, as well as onboarding employees, so helping them at that entry level into the workforce, whether they are a new employee who's a first-time employee who's coming maybe right out of some type of educational institution and you're bringing them in and it's their first job and you're orienting them to the big wide world of work and how do things really work here and what's the social fabric and who are the decision makers and all that orientation type of stuff versus, say, a mid-career hire where you're bringing in someone who might have cultivated some expertise in an area of kind of a skill set or a performance area and you're bringing them in to round out your team and the way that you onboard them as a mid-career hire and you is really, you know, is a little more complex because they need to understand not only how things work, but how decisions get made and who are the critical influencers within the organization and all those things that will set those mid-career hires up for success. And using mentoring is a great way of doing it, as well as we now see organizations using it in support of leadership development, whether it's frontline supervisors or mid-level managers that you're, or even executives, that you're really looking to help them build a complex set of interpersonal skills like leading or having crucial conversations or managing effectively. And a lot of times those skills take years, and it takes the tribal wisdom of people who've been in that organization for quite a while to help those people who are newer to those practices actually become more successful more quickly, as well as basic career development, which is where mentoring kind of got its start for high potential development, but also more informal career development. So as people get performance feedback, being able to have a go-to mentoring option so they can connect with other people who can help them fulfill their development objectives versus simply going to a class or reading a book or something that is less personally impactful and typically has minimal results on personal effectiveness.
So our core readership falls along the lines when you were talking about executives and mid-level managers, that group of people. And I think a lot of people think that these are the folks who are typically the mentors as opposed to the mentees, but they need mentoring too. Any advice for this group on how to ask for mentoring for themselves? Because I don't think people always assume that they want or need mentoring.
Yeah, that's a, you know, the reality is that we live in a world where continuous learning for all adults is paramount. It's no longer something that's going to happen one day. We all live in this world of rapidly evolving management techniques and skills and technologies that are emerging that are impacting the workforce in a major way. So I think a great way, what we see a lot of organizations gravitating towards for those higher level leaders and managers in the organization, those executives, if you will, is really creating group, kind of peer group mentoring, because things are different at the top. And a lot of times, if you share similar responsibilities with someone and you're looking to learn something new, tapping into that peer network and inviting them to be peer mentors is quite effective. There's probably very few people above them in the organization that's going to be able to advise them into these new practice areas, but their peers often, even if they don't have ready experience at a peer level, with the level of experience that you have towards the top of the organization, you can usually band together in group mentoring at a peer level to share best practice ideas, sample out experiment, and sample out some new behaviors and share the learnings amongst themselves. So in a sense, kind of create a coalition or a collective that's focused on different, you know, emerging practice areas at a peer level works very well for those more senior leaders, as well as doing cross-agency collaboration. So finding someone who might have a similar position but in another agency who you've heard has some new emerging practices that you're interested in, and simply reaching across the aisle and making that connection. And literally, I learned this years and years ago about mentoring. Most of the time, if you go to someone with an honest request and you have in mind what your personal goals and objectives are and you're able to share that succinctly and ask that person to help you, very few people will turn you down unless they're absolutely overwhelmed. And then typically, they will point you to another colleague that they're aware of who has similar abilities that may be available to help you. So I think we just have to, in a sense, become more aware of what it is we need to know that we don't know, and then be really willing to engage at that peer level, either within the agency or reach across the aisle to someone else in another agency that has similar experiences that you're interested in.
Do you see any reoccurring themes or issues that this group is commonly seeking mentoring for, these emerging practices, that type of thing? Are there any common issues that they all need to address?
Yeah, I think some of the most common ones, because of the trends that are happening within the public sector, a lot of it has to do with working with contractors and new emerging practices around that. If you don't have an intact kind of team, and you have to supplement with key role players that might be, you know, people who understand emerging technologies, because more and more information in the public sector is being, there's this push for transparency. So privacy laws, security, a lot of those issues around how do we draft new policies, new practices that are going to allow us to guard the right information and yet make public information more accessible and transparent, and developing different approaches towards customer service and really looking to engage more right with your customers from the public sector, instead of the kind of older approaches to serving the public, which are really rapidly going away of, you know, you come to us and we'll give you answers instead. There seems to be new ways of delivering those services to the end users or your customers.
I know that River Software has worked with several agencies. Your client list includes HUD, GAO, NNSA. Have you seen differences in how the government and private sector use mentoring? Are the goals and challenges the same, different? Anything that you see specific?
There are differences. And obviously, there are a lot of similarities. So the most obvious is that organizations, regardless of what their mission is, all organizations are trying to engage their workforce in more intentional knowledge sharing and collaboration through mentoring. So basically, tapping into the wisdom that only experience can bring. That's universal. Now, the methodologies and how you do it between public and private sectors, they do vary. And a lot of it has to do with autonomy and control. The autonomy and control outside the public sector, you know, senior leaders and executives have far more autonomy for decision making around changing staff roles and responsibilities, restructuring on the fly, creating new policies and procedures, new methods and protocols. All of those are the kind of levers that are more easily pulled outside of the public sector. So in the public sector, it's much more working for consensus and working within the structures that already exist versus imposing your will upon those structures. And so because of that, there needs to be quite a bit more education and socialization. The whole organization needs to embrace the process of mentoring and what it can do from a more rounded perspective versus just, this is a little select process we do with a few people. But if we want to create a culture of mentoring, then it necessitates, oftentimes within agencies, the methodologies that work best are working with more localized champions. For instance, within the GAO, they call them focal points. And these focal points actually work out in the field in the various locations, but they have a vested interest in promoting mentoring practices at their local area. And they look for opportunities to affect their portion of the organization and imprint it with those practices. So really using the things that always have worked well within public sector organizations, creating coalitions and really spending time carefully educating as to aligning the practice of mentoring with the mission of the agency and then tying it to the human capital development processes that typically already exist and leveraging mentoring as a support element for those human capital practices are often the strategies that work the best.
So that kind of, you already answered my last question in part, which was if you had any advice or tips for agencies wanting to roll out mentoring. And you just gave some great strategies, but is there anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think maybe I'll start with what I would typically mention last first. So it's critical that you measure impact and you measure what this is, you know, what is mentoring doing for your workforce? And if you create programs that are tightly tied, where the purpose is tied to the expected outcomes, and you measure the impact of those outcomes, then it becomes easier to justify doing more with mentoring once you move it out of the realm of it being a nice thing to do for people to a mission critical element of creating the culture and the kind of productive environment that you really want, one that's more focused on being agile and gaining quick results versus, you know, there's a lot of legacy programs in all organizations that are there, you know, they're token programs, they're there because they were established by a leader a long time ago, but nobody really understands what is the vital connection now to, you know, generating results and creating the kind of environment that we really want. So if you want to move mentoring more into the forefront, measure it and tie purpose to results and monitor progress and measure the impact. That's one of the kind of messages I've really been pushing very hard to all organizations, but especially I think in the public sector, where there's a renewed emphasis on making sure that the time and the energy that you're spending on these kind of practices are actually yielding productive results. And so I think that that's really critical. I think also rallying senior stakeholder support, educating the executives into what is the business purposes for actually promoting this process. You know, oftentimes they don't actually have to be involved in the mentoring. They just need to endorse it and understand what it's doing for the agency and endorse it. And then creating a different mindset and educating the agencies into a more productive and effective practice and utilization of mentoring. So helping them to understand, how does it work? How do I participate? What's my role? How does this benefit me? Demystifying the process through education, really helping people to understand what it's not. A lot of the legacy concepts around how mentoring works have really been supplanted and replaced with more immediate productive results that can be gained through the process.
Well, I imagine we're going to be getting a lot of new people coming into public service, and this advice might be very helpful with bringing all those new people on board, right?
Absolutely. I mean, my comments are, and a big part of the education for the senior leaders of agencies in the public sector is typically around how vital this process is for younger workers and how dependent they are on these critical knowledge relationships that are forged through mentoring, and how, in a sense, a lot of agencies are hostile towards those kind of learning relationships, and it's going to create dissatisfaction almost immediately, those new people coming in, and it's really painful and costly to bring in and recruit and get the right talent on board, and it's heartbreaking when they turn and leave your organization because they don't, quote-unquote, feel there's a fit, and usually what they're indicating is there's not these strong relational knowledge-sharing ties that help to support their growth and development, which is a major indicator of how engaged they'll be in your organization, is how passionately are they connected to other people outside of their immediate supervisor, those people who can help guide and invest in their future development.
Indeed. This has been super helpful. And I think with the transition happening, a lot of this information is going to be really helpful to our readers. So I thank you again for doing this interview with us.
You can find out more about mentoring in the February issue of The Public Manager. The issue will also include a feature on the key role of the Office of Management and Budget in a new administration. The whole issue will be available February 10th at td.org/thepublicmanager and in the free ATD Publications app. Until then, you can stay in touch by visiting the GovLearning blog in the Communities of Practice section of the td.org website, or by following the Government COP on Twitter at ATDGov. Our music is Beach Bum by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. It's licensed under Creative Commons with a By Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again next week.